You know, there's a famous hymn that is sung by many Christians. Maybe you've heard of it. The hymn is titled, He Lives. And this hymn was composed way back in 1933 by a man named Alfred Henry Ackley. Now, the words of the chorus for this hymn are as follows. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. What do you think of that last part? You ask me how you know He lives? He lives within my heart. Now, I don't want to question the sincerity of Alfred Ackley's faith. I'm sure he was a sincere believer in Jesus. However, I must point out that Alfred Ackley is sincerely wrong when he says, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Why is this wrong? Two reasons. First of all, Ackley is wrong because we should not look to our heart or our emotions or our feelings for proof of God's existence or His presence with us. For example, religious feelings, they come and go, don't they? Some days you might feel that Jesus is really close to you, but other days you might feel like He's totally absent and doesn't exist at all. In fact, our hearts are not able to know anything about God unless God either one, reveals Himself to us personally, or two, speaks to us through His Word. And so the only way we can know that Jesus lives is if He, one, actually reveals Himself to us in person, or two, assures us that He lives by speaking this truth to us through His Word. Now, the second reason that Ackley is wrong is because Scripture teaches that the human heart is filled with sin and deception. Left to ourselves, our hearts would always come up with the wrong conclusions about God and His will. For example, there are a lot of people in the world who in their hearts, they think they have this close relationship with God, and yet they reject the God who reveals Himself to us in Scripture. So just because you have this emotional connection with whatever God you think exists doesn't mean that you believe in the true God, because the true God reveals Himself to you through Holy Scripture. With that understood, let me read the first two verses of today's Gospel reading. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Now, the first thing I want to do is point out an error in today's English translation. You see, the readings that you hear here at Concordia are taken from the New International Version translation of the Bible, which, all in all, is a very good translation. However, there are a few places where it is simply in error, and one of those errors appears at the beginning of today's Gospel reading. This translation has Jesus saying the following, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, when Jesus says within you, it sounds like He's saying that we can experience the kingdom of God in the feelings of our heart. Supposedly, Jesus is saying that if we feel God in our heart, that must mean that His kingdom is within us. But this is not true at all. And let me give you two reasons why it's not true. First of all, who is Jesus speaking to here? He's speaking to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees thought they had this tight relationship with God. They thought that they had impressed God with their obedient lives. But what does Jesus say? In our translation, it has Him saying, "The kingdom of God is within you." But how can that be? They're unbelievers. They reject Jesus. They will not trust in Him as their Savior. So how can Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you when the people He's talking to are unbelievers? Second point. The Greek word that is translated by within in today's English translation should actually be translated as among or in your midst in this particular context. In other words, according to the original Greek, what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God was already among them. It was already in their midst because Jesus had brought the kingdom. For example, back in Luke chapter 4, there were people in a particular community who wanted Jesus to stay with them and never leave. But listen to what Jesus says to them. He says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." So did you hear what Jesus said? He was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was already among them. The kingdom of God was already in their midst. How? Through the preaching of Jesus. But if Jesus was preaching that the kingdom of God was already among them, then why did the Pharisees ask Jesus when the kingdom of God would come? Well, the reason they asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come is that they refused to believe the good news of the kingdom that Jesus was preaching to them. You see, Jesus was preaching that the good news of the kingdom is about people receiving forgiveness of sins and eternal life through faith in Him. But the Pharisees didn't want to hear that. That wasn't their idea of God's kingdom. You see, the Pharisees and many other Jews of Jesus' day had a totally different understanding of the kingdom of God. First, they believed that the good news of the kingdom was that God would reward you if you had faithfully obeyed His laws. So rather than being the good news being forgiveness because of Jesus' death, it was God will reward you if you've been a good person. Secondly, they also believed that God would reward you as a Jew by sending the Messiah, who would then, by God's power, overcome the Roman Empire, the oppressors of the Jews, and give faithful Jews a kingdom of their own on earth. So they understood the kingdom of God in earthly terms, the Messiah overthrowing the Romans and giving the Jews a free nation of their own. So, the reason they asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come is that they were waiting for Jesus to do what they wanted Him to do. If Jesus was really claiming to be the Messiah, which He was, then why didn't He go and kick out the Romans and establish God's kingdom and reward faithful Jews like them? Well, because of their misunderstanding of the kingdom of God, Jesus corrects them by saying, "Guys, the kingdom of God is already among you. The kingdom of God is already in your midst." It was as though Jesus were saying, "Hey guys, if you want the kingdom of God, then just listen to my preaching and teaching. Repent of your sins. Trust in me as your Savior. Because I'm going to Jerusalem, but I'm not going to kick out the Romans. Instead, I'm going to die on a cross for you." Now, before we judge the Pharisees too harshly, before we say, "Wow, those guys were pretty clueless. Why can't they be more like us?" we need to realize that we're also sometimes guilty of ignoring what the kingdom of God really is and instead looking for a different kind of kingdom. For example, the devil tempts us to ignore or reject what God's word teaches us about being unworthy sinners who deserve only God's wrath. The devil tempts us to ignore what the Bible clearly teaches about Jesus being the only Savior for lost sinners. Instead, the devil would like us to think that we're basically good people and that God will reward us because we've obeyed His laws well enough. Sadly, there are a lot of people like that in our culture, even people who go to church. You ask them, are you certain you'll be going to heaven? And if they say, well, yeah, then you ask them, well, why are you certain? Many will say, well, because I'm a good person. I've done lots of good things. I haven't sinned all that much. I've done my best to keep God's commandments. Do they really understand what the kingdom of God is? Apparently not. Another lie the devil tempts us to believe is that the kingdom of God is about earthly peace. That's right. God's job is to protect us from our enemies, from the terrorists, from others who might threaten us. It's all about having earthly peace. That's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what the devil wants us to think. Another lie of the devil is that the kingdom of God is about earthly prosperity. That's right. The devil wants us to think that the kingdom of God is about having health and wealth, having your best life now. God's kingdom is here if God is providing for us abundantly and we have plenty of money in our savings account. Now, please understand, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God to protect you from your earthly enemies. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God to provide for your physical needs. What I'm saying is that this is not what the kingdom of God is about. According to the Bible, the preaching of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, is that God's Son came into the world to rescue His enemies. That's you and me. And He did that by taking your sin and my sin upon Himself and going to the cross and suffering our damnation in our place and then conquering death for us by His resurrection. That's the good news of the kingdom. Repent and trust in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Now, with all that understood, after Jesus tells the Pharisees that the kingdom of God is right among them in their midst, He then says the following to His disciples. He says to them, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." What does Jesus mean by this? Well, when Jesus talks about the days of the Son of Man, He's referring to His earthly ministry when He was visibly present with His disciples. But Jesus says that a time is coming when they will long for one of those days. Why? Because soon Jesus will be going to Jerusalem. He will die. He will rise again. And then after a few days, He will ascend to heaven. And they will see Him visibly no more. A time is coming when they will long for one of those days when Jesus was visibly present among them. In the same way, we sometimes long for one of the days of the Son of Man. When life gets hard, we wish we could see Jesus face to face in the flesh, just as those first disciples did. We long for His return. Why is He waiting so long? We long for one of the days of the Son of Man. Then Jesus goes on to say, "Men will tell you, there He is, or here He is. Do not go running after them, for the Son of Man in His day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Here Jesus is teaching us about the time between His ascension and His second coming. And we're still living in that in-between time. The time between Jesus' first coming and His second coming. Jesus says that throughout history, men will be looking for false Christs and false saviors because they refuse to believe the good news of the kingdom that is among us right now through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. But He says, when you hear these false Christs, when you hear these false saviors, don't run after them. Instead, continue to trust in the good news of the kingdom that is among you right now through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. In fact, Jesus stresses that it's going to be obvious to everybody when He does return the second time. His return will be like lightning which flashes and lights up the sky. But sadly, Jesus points out that as in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom, many will be caught off guard at Jesus' second coming. They won't be ready. And why won't they be ready? Because they refused to believe the good news of the kingdom that was being proclaimed to them here and now. They would not believe the kingdom of God that was among them, right in their midst. And that's why they will not be ready when Jesus returns visibly on the final day. But the good news I have for you is that you are ready through faith in Jesus. You are ready because the kingdom of God is among you in your midst and you believe it. In fact, we who believe in Jesus as our Savior, we do not have to fear His second coming. In fact, we can look forward to it. Remember what Paul wrote in our reading from Thessalonians? He said, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him." So what is your confidence that you have nothing to fear when Jesus returns? It has nothing to do with whether you're good enough, because we're all sinners. None of us are worthy to stand before God. But you see, the assurance, the certain hope you have that you will stand before God without fear in the final day is that through faith in Jesus, your sins have been washed away. Through faith in Jesus, you have been rescued from God's wrath. Through faith in Jesus, you have nothing to fear. You are forgiven. The kingdom is among you. Right in your midst. Now, after Jesus explains all this to His disciples, they have a question. Their question is, "Where, Lord?" Isn't that interesting? The Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God will come, but His disciples asked Jesus where the kingdom of God will come. They want to know where they can look for assurance that the kingdom of God is among them. Especially since Jesus will one day be leaving them. Jesus then gives this very cryptic response to their question. He says, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather." Now what in the world does that mean? Well, simply put, Jesus is reminding them that they will one day see His dead body hanging on a cross. They will one day see Jesus' lifeless body nailed to a piece of rough wood, and He will be surrounded by vultures. And by vultures, Jesus means the unbelievers who hate Him, both Jews and Romans who were happy to see Him on the cross. But this is our assurance, Jesus says. You want to know where the kingdom of God is? You want to have something to look at to be assured that the kingdom of God is among you? Then look to me on the cross. That's where the kingdom reaches its fulfillment. That's where my mission is completed. It is finished, Jesus said. Where, Lord? Where can we look for assurance that the kingdom is among us? Where you see a dead body, the vultures will gather. Look at me when I'm on the cross, and you will know that the kingdom of God is among you. But what about us? We can't go back in time and look at Jesus' body on the cross, fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. But it doesn't matter. You see, God actually brings the cross to us here and now. The kingdom of God is also among us in our midst. How? Well, let me tell you how. One of the ways that God brings the cross to us here and now is holy baptism. The blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross, the power of that blood is applied to us in the waters of holy baptism, where He washes us from our sin and brings us into His kingdom. The kingdom of God is also among us when we hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. when God speaks to us through Holy Scripture, when I proclaim Scripture to you through my sermons, when we study Scripture together in Bible class, God is bringing the cross to us here and now and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom among us in our midst right now. In addition, whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, God is bringing the cross to us here and now and giving it to you personally. When Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." Where, Lord? Where can we look for assurance that your kingdom is among us? Remember your baptism. Hear the preaching and teaching of my word. Receive my body and blood on the Lord's Supper. This is God's assurance to us now that the kingdom is among us, right in our midst. Jesus lives, my friends. He lives. But how do we know He lives? First of all, He visibly, personally appeared to many people after His resurrection over the course of 40 days. Over 500 people witnessed Him alive on one occasion. He actually revealed Himself personally to people, alive and well. And they were willing to die for their testimony that they saw Him alive. We also know Jesus lives because He assures us of this fact through His Word. Through God's own Word, He assures us not only did Jesus die for our sins, but He conquered death for us, and He will return for us one day. We have God's Word on it, and that's all we need. He lives. How do we know He lives? God says so. One day Jesus will return visibly, and we who trust in Him, we can look forward to that day. But until then, you can rejoice. Because even though we don't see Jesus face to face, the kingdom of God is among you. It is right in your midst. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.